it really comes down to what your property goals are. And some people, I guess, are okay with just kind of letting it ride. But a lot of the owners that I work with are saying, how do we push revenue up? How do we push our performance up? And that's we start having these conversations.
Hi, I'm Wyatt.
And I'm Grace.
And you're listening to Our Dad and your host of the Vacation Rental Revolution Podcast.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Moore, and we're back with our Expert Corner interviews, my favorite episodes every single week, where we get to bring in experts in the short-term rental game to talk to you and let you listen in on our conversation about the good, the bad, the ugly of short-term rental investing. I've got a repeat guest and one of my favorite people of all time, Mr. Steve Cummings, part of our Vodacy family, long-term member of our Vodacy family, one of our coaches on the self-management side. Been building a portfolio for a long time. He's a repeat guest. Some of you may have already heard his story, but I always will give him a recap, Steve, on kind of where things are at, what you're doing, and then also as you've diving into the management side of life. And I want to talk to you, you know, not about as like about building your portfolio, all those types of things, but also you and I will have a bit of a conversation as we're diving in and going into 2026, kind of what we expect to see in the vacation rental world. You've got a finger on the pulse of some things going on with the management of multiple properties in multiple markets, your own portfolio. And so I think you and I will have a good conversation, but remind everybody where you're from, what you're doing and what that portfolio looks like right now.
Thanks, Sean. Yeah, it's great to be with you again. Third time, I think, being yes. on your podcast, which yeah. is awesome. It's a great honor. As you mentioned, longtime member of the Vodacy team, but really time has flown by. We joined in October of 21. We got our first vacation rental in January of 2022. Had no real estate experience. I lived in Kansas City at the time, was in high tech, did high tech consulting. Helping deploy Microsoft products. Prior to that, worked for Microsoft for a long time. And so it was our first time getting into real estate and bought our first vacation rental in Branson, a three-bedroom, two-bath condo right there on the lake in January of 22. And man, it's been a wild ride ever since. We've since then added three additional properties that we own to our portfolio. And then, as you mentioned, in early in 2023, started managing properties for others. And so we've grown that business up to, we have 25 properties total, 21 plus the four that we own. And it's been incredible and, thankful for you and your mentorship and your coaching and the entire team. But that's where we are now. Since then, since last time we talked, we've actually relocated to Branson. We wanted to get closer to the properties that we own and a lot of them that we manage. And, yeah, it's been an interesting year. Certainly can talk about kind of trends and what we're seeing, but really happy to just talk about whatever's on your mind and what you think your listeners are interested in.
Yeah, I love it. So you launched, did you launch two properties this past year or just the one personally?
We launched one this year and then we launched one in 2024 as well.
Yeah.
So when I say, basically in August of 2025, we launched our fourth. And then August of 2024, our third. So we bought two pretty quickly in January and then July of 22. Mm-hmm. Used 2023 to kind of really get up to speed and then started managing some others for other people. And then kind of using like the we talk about the method of growing the portfolio, leveraging the bonus depreciation and cost segregation to help offset some of the tax burden. Leverage that in 24 and then 25 as well. So,
yeah. Yeah. And you, this one that you launched, walk me through a little bit of how the launch went, what type of a property it was. You still are all your properties in Branson, right? You really doubled down in that market, right?
Exactly. Yeah. We've really doubled down in this market. So this, the fourth one that we launched in August it's a custom built, it was a build job, but it's a purpose resort destination environment called Tall Timbers Camp. In Branson, it's all cabins, anywhere from two up to six bedrooms, with awesome amenities, indoor pool, outdoor pool. They're building a lazy river right now, general store, fishing lake. And that's one of the things that drew us to that was the amount of the amenities, and the fact that it could probably be booked all year round with what they're trying to do there. And so, we launched that one in August, and that was one that we actually leveraged Mike Whitfield and, you know, the design team from Odyssey to kind of go from start all the way from start to finish on that, you know, with all the furniture, the decor and all of the amenities that we built into the property. And so this was one that we took through that full process, and it's been doing fantastic so far.
When did you launch it? When did you wrap it up?
So we closed in June, second week of June, and it was August 1st when we launched. So it was a little over 4 or 5 weeks that it took us to get that thing ready to go.
Yeah. And so you didn't even get to realize the entire summer season with that one, right? So
no, we knew that going in, the way that these builds were going in phases, whenever they start in like the January timeframe, we knew it was going to be probably June before it was finished. Having said that, we launched in phase two. And so we learned from all the folks that launched in phase one. And I think we were able to do things even a little bit better than the first wave of folks that closed. We missed June and July, but it still was, we exceeded our expectations, let me put it that way.
Well, the property turned out amazing, and
exactly,
you know, you're giving the consumer a reason to choose it above and beyond other properties, which is what we're trying to do, right? And so, and always, those of you listening, if you're new to the show, you guys know we post all of these properties in the show notes, the links to them, and so you can go check it out, because success leaves clues. It's why we have these conversations, why we show you what we're doing, because, you know, we want everybody to kind of continue to raise the bar, and that's exactly what this property is doing. And it's funny, every time we launch a new one, we do something maybe a little bit different. We continue to raise that bar. We continue to push, and the consumers seem to like that. And so it's kind of fun to see that. So, where I'd like to have this conversation go a little bit is kind of your, like you mentioned, some of the trends that you might be seeing, some of the things that you're noticing. You're in a major market. Branson is a major market with, you know, a lot of people know my take on when I hear people say they don't like saturated markets, they don't like the big markets. I completely disagree with that. I think it's a lot easier to get your unfair share of business in a major market where the consumer's actually spending the money than it is to go try to create demand somewhere else. But we'll talk a little bit about that. I know you're not just in Branson where you're managing, though. So what are some of the other markets that you have a bit of information on, and kind of a pulse of what's going on?
Yeah, a majority of them are in Branson, but we actually operate in 6 states total. So we have one in Galveston, right on the water there. It's called Ocean's Edge. One in Santa Rosa Beach, so on the Emerald Coast, they're right off 30A. One in Bella Vista, Arkansas, which a lot of people don't know about, is becoming the mountain biking capital of the world. They just moved the headquarters there, right? So we've got some up in New Hampshire on lakes and rivers. And so the company name that we have is called Sweet Adventures. A lot of the properties that we have, that we own and that we help for others, it's all about adventure, and so which is nice. And then one in Frankfort, Kentucky, kind of right in the middle of the Bourbon Trail, right between Lexington and Bardstown and Louisville, you know, just 2 miles from Buffalo Trace, it's been doing fantastic as well. So, so we've got a lot of experience across multiple markets. Obviously, we're, you know, concentrated a lot in Branson, but, you know, I see similar trends. You see differences, but you also see a lot of similarities across markets as well.
Right. Is there anything that you guys are really watching or expecting that are kind of feel like emerging trends or things that are a little bit different that are kind of on your guys' radar?
Yeah, I think amenities and experiences are things that we're trending to. I see a lot of people asking us for recommendations on things to do. Do you have access to provide those types of experiences? So whether it's things like private chef or excursions or transportation, things like that. We're seeing that more and more, almost like kind of that expectation of concierge service, like you'd get at a hotel. We're seeing that trend. Overall, I think what's interesting is overall, the market was fairly flat or even slightly down for some properties year over year. Overall, we were up, but we saw this kind of flattening and some downward pressure on rates and things like that as people kind of had different choices on where they travel and kind of that kind of maybe that final tail of the COVID, you know, pandemic, kind of that final edge of coming down from those highs. And so I think in general, what we're trying to do is focus on more and more things that'll provide a great guest experience above and beyond, you know, what your competitors are providing.
Right. And I'm glad you're touching on that. We're like, I noticed the same types of things. It's saying that the consumer is getting very specific about what they want and what they're, because we've given them a lot of choices. A lot of these markets, there's a lot to choose from. The issue, and also the opportunity is a lot of people are offering the same thing as everybody else. They have really good properties, really good proximity to everything. They're furnished very nicely. And the consumer is saying, hey, listen, I mean, if I can't differentiate, the only way that I'm going to differentiate is price, right? And that's where you see that downward pressure on price. The paradox to that is the consumer also is begging us to give them a reason to pay more and begging us to give them a reason to select us above and beyond everybody else. And they want that uniqueness, that differentiation, something that feels more personalized. And those concierge services are very much that, like, and that's not that difficult to add on, right? There's a lot of these markets, especially your major markets, you've got a lot of chefs, masseuses, you know, there's a lot of different things like the spa experience, the chef experience. Those are very obvious ones. And many of these markets have really good choices for that. And all you're really doing is trying to, like, I hear a lot of people trying to use them as profit drivers and profit centers. I'm not a huge believer that you need to do that. I think you can actually just have it as a concierge service that's a pass through to your guests, but that service allows you to now say, hey, listen, we help you with this. We've got our concierge, you know, service that's a part of our property when you book it. And ultimately that helps you raise those prices. It gives the consumer some differentiation. It's partly why we do the design that we do, the amenities we do. But there's also, you can't just say, hey, listen, I'm just going to go load my property up with amenities because a lot of amenities are very expensive. And we got to make sure, are we actually getting a return on those amenities? I hear a lot of times, you know, people just saying we need these resort style, you know, backyards and these resort style amenities, and the bill for them is so expensive. I look at it and say, sure, the consumer is going to want to pay for that, but you're not getting a return on that, right? It's you just spent, you know, $200,000 or $300,000 on a backyard resort renovation but you know how long it's going to take you to recoup that $200,000 or $300,000. So things like concierge service, things like, you know, selecting a target audience. You mentioned that you guys are very, you know, front facing on adventure type properties. Mm-hmm. And we're saying, hey, listen, we're going to have this consumer that we can create that experience for and give them more reasons to book our property. It's the same trends we see in across the board, right? We have been in the experience business forever, right? And yep. It's the difference is right now, the middle of those markets are very, very difficult to operate. So I'm curious, as a property manager, you know, obviously you're saying, hey, listen, we want to grow our portfolio. Maybe I want to get to 50 homes instead of the 25 homes, right? We want to do that. Are you willing to do that at any cost and just get your fair share? Or are you very selective of the type of property owners that you bring on to that portfolio that are willing to kind of invest into setting these properties up correctly?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. I think, so for us, we're focused on what I call boutique property management, just to kind of tie back to what you were asking earlier about, you know, trends and things like that. And the concierge services and all of that go with communication. So
yeah,
understanding your guest, you know, asking them why they're coming, having a conversation with them, getting to know them like they're almost in a way like their family, because we want them to have such a great vacation. And when you understand them, then you can offer some of these things. Like they're coming for a birthday. Well, can we set up a birthday cake for you? We had one guest ask, you know, they had a 6-year-old that was coming, and they like Spider-Man and hunting. And so it's like, could you help us pick which one? And we helped set up their place and, you know, got a glowing review out of that. Well, the only way that you can do that is one, you start with that great communication, but then two, using kind of this boutique style approach, which is kind of limiting your portfolio of properties that you manage so that you can continue to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. That's kind of the focus is to basically get to a point where we can provide a great guest experience, a great owner experience. And how we do that is by kind of filtering, if you will, who we're willing to take on. So when you do kind of the underwriting portion of the property, is there anything in that little section around, you know, furniture and fit and finish and amenities, anything in decor, you know, that basically finish budget? And if it's zero, and they're not willing to invest, it's really difficult because you want them. And with our, like, and to your point, we know kind of based on our experience and through your coaching, like what works and what doesn't. And so we can provide some really direct guidance on here's some things that you can add that'll absolutely add value and great reviews and great experience. And here's some things that maybe aren't, you know, going to pay off as much. Just to kind of wrap that up, like starts with communication, and you only can do that if you kind of limit who your audience is, or who you're, in our case, the owners that we take on. And then two, providing those recommendations and guidance on what is going to be the best bang for your buck in terms of amenities and all the different things that you can add to a property to try and get it to be, you know, the competition. We're always trying to operate at the top end of the market as much as we possibly can. And it starts with the property and the owner willing to invest in that, but doing it in a smart way.
Yes, exactly. And that the smart way is where, well, we really are, we always are trying to walk that line with Invodacy. You can buy your way to the top of any market with, I mean, just go, you can literally go dump a bunch of money and have better amenities than everybody else, better stuff in your property, but it costs a lot to do it. You can buy yourself the number one property in the market. Doesn't mean you're making any money, right? You've got to do it in a smart way where you're getting a return on that investment. And I love that you brought up communication. One of the reasons, like when you look at consumer behavior and consumer reports, and this says why, you know, it, like 80 between any, like these reports and these surveys have been going on for years, but like from the very beginning stages to any, like whenever they update these findings on consumer behavior, they ask consumers, are you willing to pay more for products and why, right? And 85 to 87% of consumers say, yeah, I don't mind. I'm not always looking for the cheapest product. I'm not always looking for the best bargain. And so almost 90% of the people are like, I'm willing to pay more, but you have to give me a reason to pay more. The three reasons they want to pay more: personalization, differentiation, which they all kind of go together, and something that is unique to them, right? And when you talk about communication, it's the number one way to personalize the experience, right? Because you know, I give the example all the time. The first time I ever went to a high-end resort, like a hotel, it was at the Montage in Laguna. And we went there, and I'd only ever been to the Marriotts and the Hiltons and everything else. I go to the Montage, and before I even checked in, we walked in, and they're like, hello, Mr. and Mrs. Moore. And I'm, you know, mid-20s, and I'm like, I thought they were talking about my parents. And I'm like, and you know, they welcome us. They didn't even check in. The person that is parking the car, we get out, they know who we are. We walk up to the front desk and they call us by name again. Everywhere we go, they know our name. They know why we came in. They know what we were there for. And it was just that communication of making it personalized. And I was like, I mean, I don't know if the property was that much nicer. I was in such awe that they knew who I was and called me by name, and they communicated the way they did, that I was like, this is worth every bit that they're charging, right? And so it's funny how the little things make such a big difference, but concierge services, communication, those types of things make these more personalized experiences for our guests.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, I just saw a quote the other day. A friend of mine posted, you know, people will forget, this is from Maya Angelou, people will forget what you say to them, but they won't forget how you make them feel.
Yep.
Right. And the other thing that I always say is, you know, what's the number one word that people love to hear?
It's their name.
Right. Yeah. And so when you personalize, and it's little things, I mean, it's really little things like that too, that can really make, just using a person's first name in communication. A lot of times we can be quick and just respond. It's like, you know, hey, Sean, really appreciate you, you know, coming and staying with us. You know, is there a special occasion why you're coming? And then starting that, you know, having that dialogue, it just creates this, right? People, you're making them feel like you know, because you do care, you're making them feel different than this is a place to stay or sleep.
Yeah.
I'm going to a place where I'm going to feel welcomed and, you know, feel appreciated. And we just love doing stuff like that for our guests. And I think, you know, just going back to your very first question, which is what are people expecting more and more? And I think that's to your point. People are willing to pay for it because that's how people like, they like to feel welcomed and appreciated and, you know, more than just a number or a dollar sign, that they're actually and that's what we always say, you know, like our number one priority is a great guest experience. We want people to have great vacations. People work really hard. They save a lot of money, or in some cases spend money sometimes that they don't necessarily even have, you know, And you want that time to be special. And so that's what we're here for. And we just love to do that. That's kind of our mission.
Yeah, I love it. One of our good friends, amazing Vodacy members, actually was making, he posted in our group today, and he was worried about, he had an odd booking. It came in for like a 2-week booking instead of his average couple days. And he was worried. He's like, I don't want to seem like nosy or off-putting by asking them why they're coming in. And, you know, I posted, I know that you saw it as well, and mm-hmm. and made a comment in there of saying, no, I don't think it's derogatory at all. Just to ask him, say, hey, listen, you know, I noticed you're coming in for 2 weeks. You know, it sounds like it might be something special. If there's something we can do to you know, make it nice and unique for you, let us know. But you're just asking the question. I think people would prefer you ask them. I think people prefer you to, you know, show interest in it versus, and I think that, you know, and Brian, who's been on our podcast before, again, one of our top Vodacy family members, is, I mean, amazing, and does such a great job with his properties, as you know, on the management side and everything else. But it's funny, like I almost found it a little bit like, holy crap, I can't believe that he's worried about asking those questions, because, you know, I'm sure when he asks it, they're going to probably be like, oh man, this is, you know, I appreciate you asking me. Yeah, we are coming in for a wedding or something else, right? And yeah. But it goes down to that communication. People, I think, prefer to be asked and showed interest in.
We actually had a very similar situation. Somebody just booked for 3 weeks at one of our places in January, which is unusual as well, because it's off season, slow season. Yeah. And it was a couple and a pet, and they were bringing. So I reached out to them, just say, hey, you know, thanks for booking your place. You know, is there anything we can do for you? You know, any particular reason why you're in town? And they said, well, they're from St. Louis, but they're coming to Branson to help their mother get into a long-term care facility. And so now we've been able to kind of have that kind of conversation. And so, I would say never hesitate, whether you're a property manager or you're a self-manager, never hesitate to reach out to your guest to have that conversation. One, it's unusual. People aren't usually expecting it, but that creates that feeling like we were talking about, because it's so unexpected nowadays, that people will really respond to that. And, you know, we've had repeat guests say the same thing, that, you know, they just really appreciate how we communicate and, you know, how accommodating we are. And so, yeah, I think that that is the key to success, is communication and caring, and just understanding that why people take vacations in the first place. It's to escape kind of the grind of life as it is today. And so the more that you can provide an escape for them, to provide that great guest experience, the better your property will do and the better you'll feel about doing it.
Yeah, for sure. I always, you know, and you mentioned where you guys are, and you know, more the boutique property manager, you're looking to maximize individual assets. It helps you maximize the return on the properties that you're managing, both for yourself, but also for the owners that you're working with. Yep. And it is kind of an interview on both sides. I'm curious your take on this, because I always tell owners, property investors, to say, hey, listen, marketing comes down to three things. One, I've got to attract a customer. Two, I've got to convert the customer. And three, the money is made in the retention of that customer, right? Mm-hmm. It's a lot easier to keep a customer coming back than it is to get a new one every single time. And so, but I tell property investors to say, it's my responsibility to attract and convert the customer. I need to make sure I'm investing in the right properties. I need to be able to set them up correctly, design them correctly, amenities, you know, all those different things that I'm willing to invest in as a property owner to set this property up to attract and convert customers. Because, and then I say it's my property manager's job to retain them. And that comes down to that communication. That comes down to delivering that experience. And ultimately, at the end of the day, that is probably by far and away the most important thing we can do for our guests, to create that experience. Unfortunately, they don't know that until they stay, right? So I still have to do what it takes to attract them and convert them. But then after that, they want to come back. They want to be back in our properties. And ultimately, that's where all the money's made. Would you agree or disagree with that?
I would agree with that. I always say it starts with the property itself. I mean, it's ideal if you can have a property with, and I always talk about these two things, proximity and amenities. Yep. So proximity to the where people want to be and want to hang out, want to do things, and then the amenities, whether it's at the home or things that you can do around there. I mean, that's, and then within the home itself is setting it up for success, you know, with the decor and how the whole property is set up to basically shine above. And that's usually the owners. And sometimes I'll get involved in some of that, at least in some of the early discussions and providing some guidance. And I'll a lot of times direct them back to this team here. That's exactly right. And then the property manager, whoever it is, if you're self-managing or hiring a property manager, it's really their job is to retain and grow that market share of ideally direct bookings. But if nothing else, just all up, you know, driving more and more through, whether it's through marketing, digital marketing, email marketing. We talked about communication, right? So just making sure that building that brand so that people know that that you're part of something bigger than just that one property, so that they'll want to come back to that property or others. I'd say that's a huge component of what we do, which is the retaining of those customers to get them to come back year after year.
Do you notice your properties? Like I've been saying that the gap between the top properties and the middle properties is widening really fast as far as revenue. Are you noticing that across your portfolio yet? Are you usually operating more toward the top anyway, so it's not that applicable? Or are you seeing that in the markets that you guys are operating in?
Yeah, I am seeing that. I'm seeing a little bit of separation. I think like we've talked about, the stakes are getting a little bit higher. The expectations are getting a little bit higher. I think those that that want to operate at the top need to be thinking about setting up the property correctly, yeah. Like we talked about, with the right investments, with the right proximity, the right amenities, the right management, and all of that. Because I still see, and the thing is that building is still continuing. I think, you know, we talk about saturation a lot, and I agree that saturation, I think, is a term that scares people away that are operating in the middle or at the lower end, where you're basically forced, you know, to compete on price. But I think water always finds its own level. And I think, you know, building will start to slow down when demand start, it'll even out. So let's assume that the demand equals supply, how are you going to operate at the high end of the market? Well, it comes down to the property and then the management of that property. And I still see way too many people just kind of, you know, setting it up like a model home and then just expecting, like, well, Airbnb and Vrbo are just going to send me bookings. It's like, no, you have to actually, there's work that goes into driving that demand. And it could be the photos, it could be the listing content itself. And I still see, you know, we talk about this a lot on your podcast, how photos are really super, super critical. Mm-hmm. Having the right photos so people stop the scroll and book your property over, you know, shopping between many. I still see there is a separation happening. And so it really comes down to what your property goals are. And some people, I guess, are okay with just kind of letting it ride. But a lot of the owners that I work with are saying, how do we push revenue up? How do we push our performance up? And that's we start having these conversations. One of the ones that kind of simple, I actually sent a note out to all our owners. I said, you know, we're seeing a little bit of a flattening of the market this year, and some properties up, some are down, but overall we're seeing this kind of leveling off. Here are five or six things I think you can do to push revenue up. One of them was going pet friendly. Mm-hmm. By default, you kind of separate 70% of the competition. Yep. I always say that kids cause more damage than pets. Yeah. And so I actually did that. I ran a case study with my own property this year. I had a 4-bedroom cabin. The second one that we purchased actually back in 2022 wasn't pet friendly. And then this year I made it pet friendly, and we did, you know, almost $10,000 more in bookings this year by going pet friendly in a year that's flat. Right.
Yeah.
So that's one. There's a few other things that I listed out there. But the point is that you can always be doing something. And you talk about this a lot, you know, separation season. This is the time to be doing that, is like thinking about going into 2026. What are the things that I can do to push my property? And it could be the property itself, and it could be management, or it could be marketing, or it could be a lot of things. But I think we should always be thinking about that.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I love you brought up the pet. the pet friendly one. We see that across the board. We've seen that for years that you literally can, you can eliminate if somebody is traveling with a pet, and there's a lot of people who do, you eliminate in many markets, you know, it's usually 70%+ of the market. Some of the markets is up to 90% of the market, right? And you automatically eliminate it. Dave and I had a property. We actually just barely sold it down in St. George, Utah, and it was in a purpose-built resort community. There was 400 townhomes in it. They're all, there's two floor plans. So they're all exactly the same. Same amenities, same floor plan, same everything. We had great design, so we stood out there. But what we also did is we went pet friendly, and out of 400 homes, there was only three homes that were pet friendly. And now it, all of a sudden, instantly, we did that a couple of years back, and instantly we got a huge lift in our occupancy and our bookings and our nightly rate. We just are, we started jumping it up as well. And I'm, I 100% agree with you. Pets are way easier on properties than kids are. And, and they, you just don't have a lot of issues with pets and properties. Anytime I have a property that is, that I want to give it almost an instant competitive advantage and eliminate some of my competition, if you feel comfortable with it, make it pet friendly, and you charge more for it. You charge more for a cleaning fee. Pet owners are expecting you, you're going to charge maybe $100-$150 more for them to have that pet in there. And you usually pass it on and clean it better, right? It does sometimes take a little bit more. You just make sure you don't want any, you know, dog hair or anything else like that on anything, which the whole property is getting cleaned anyways. And so it's not like you're already doing that stuff. And so you might as well get the extra revenue.
Yeah, exactly. And most people, you know, for the most part, are trying, if they're bringing their dogs, you know, they're not bringing the wild and crazy ones. They're typically good travel companions. And
yes, exactly. Most,
you know, and, you know, I can count on less than five, you know, one hand, the number of times we've had any sort of incident over the last 4 or 5 years across, you know, hundreds and hundreds of stays. But yet that's extra revenue. Like you said, you can push the rates up. It's a personal choice, and not everybody. And some people are just saying, I'm okay with not collecting that extra revenue.
Yeah, just yeah, exactly. Some people just don't want it.
But the point is that there's always something you can do if you're wanting to kind of push that to that next level. So.
And it's not, I have yet to find the one silver bullet that works to make all your dreams come true. It's 100 golden BBs, right? It's little things. It's like, this makes a little bit of a difference, 2 or 3% difference. This makes another 2 or 3% difference. And you stack those different things that you can be doing to level up. You know, we are in a business that is very much a mom and pop business, and it's going to be a mom and pop business for as long as I can see into the future. I just don't see institutional money and institutional investors getting into this game for a lot of different reasons. But because of that, you're always going to have plenty of room at the top, because mom and pop investors, retail investors, they don't take the time to operate it like a true business. They don't look at consumer behavior. They don't pay attention to all that. So all of these different things that we're talking about, your competition, the majority of them, 90% of them probably will never do it. It will always be this middle of the market grind, that you have all these great properties that look like model homes and they all kind of compete with each other. It's those extra little steps that you can do to jump into that top 10% of a market. And that really is a lot less crowded up there. It's not as flat, right? It's not, there's two multiple different types of markets you're competing in. I would much rather be competing with 10% of the market than 90% of the market. And it is a very steep cutoff, in my opinion, between the top and the bottom of the market.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think 2026 maybe will, on the buyer's side, if anybody out there is looking to buy a vacation rental property, I think it's a unique opportunity. We've seen a leveling out of kind of the interest rates. We know they're not going to drop back down to the threes, but they're not up in the sevens and eights. And I think you have a lot of people, you know, the back in 2020, 2021, that jumped into the game, maybe paid a little more than they should have for the property and don't manage it quite, and they're not performing as well. There's a lot of motivated buyer or sellers out there right now. And I think this is an opportunity. If you're willing to invest in the experience, invest in the property, operate at that top end of the market, there's a lot of deals that could be had for people that haven't done that. And that may be upside down in the properties. And so I do think this is going to be an interesting year. And of course, we've got the bonus depreciation back at 100%. And so there's a, you know, obviously a tax advantage for that. But I think in general, there's a lot of opportunity for taking a property and pushing it to that next level to operate in that top 75 to 90th percentile.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I say this all the time, and it goes to buying, because these are the people also selling, is that 90% of properties in the middle of the market, there are so many of them that are so close to success. They need a couple little things extra. And so a lot of property owners that we talk to and we do audits with their property, we're like, man, you're so close. You've done 95% of the hard work. Let's get that last 5% is going to make all the difference. You know, teaming up with somebody like you that has that knowledge base, it's invaluable because you can look at something and say, let's do this, this, and this, and we can move this from the middle of the market toward that top of the market. And buyers are in that same situation. You can go buy a property that a lot of the hard work has already been done, mm-hmm. and you just need to come in and put the finishing touches on it.
Yeah, that's a great point. I'll tell a quick story about one of our owners that we took on last fall. Interestingly enough, I got connected through them through our real estate agent that I use here in Branson, Jason. And he reached out to me because he was working with these owners. They were going to list their house. They have a 7-bedroom, 7-bath lodge with a great view of the lake. And they were going to sell it because they weren't performing. But they really, really loved the house. They loved visiting Branson. They wanted to continue, but they were, like you said, they were just close, but just not quite there. So being the great, you know, guy that Jason is, instead of, you know, just say, no, let's just sell it. He goes, why don't you talk to Steve and see what he can do? So we started having a conversation. And so we took it over in October. We kind of signed the contract, took them on in October. And then in November and December, we did more revenue than they had done up until that point, the 10 months prior. And it was just a few little things. And, you know, they were using one of the big box, management companies that had lower management fees, but just were missing the basic things. And so we immediately turned it around. And then we added a couple of new things to the property to make it even perform even better this year. Right. And so we increased the average. And I actually, you know, looked at their prior 12 months performance versus now we have 12 months under our belt with them. We increased the average daily rate by over 65%. Wow. And more than doubled their net payout, right? And so to your point, like there's a lot of properties that are just right there that could be, you just have to, you know, put the effort in and get the right coaching, I think, is key. But yeah, there's opportunity for both buyers and sellers out there right now. And it's a lot of them are right there. It's just you've got to have... Yeah, so close. So.
Yeah, and there's going to be a lot that just are hitting the market. And so if you are a buyer and you're looking to get in, look for some of those. And those the major markets are really where the best buys are going to be because there's a lot more people who got into those markets and they're saying, I'm struggling, I'm getting out, right? So you just have more opportunity there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So you guys know, you listen to me. I don't like to manage my own properties. I'm always looking for the right management partner. I say, listen, this is the Achilles heel of the short-term rental business. It really, really is. Whatever choice you make is such a critical, whether you're going to self-manage or whether you're going to hire somebody. I'm on the side of hiring somebody. And I will tell you guys without a shadow of a doubt, the types of property managers that I look for in my markets are just like what Steve's doing over at Sweet Adventures. If you guys are, you know, it is by far and away your most important partnership owning short-term rentals is your property manager. The right ones are worth their weight in gold. The bad ones are, and not bad people by any stretch, just the wrong business model for what you're trying to do can be a real nightmare and it can be really frustrating. And so definitely as much as we post properties to check out, you know, we'll also be posting Sweet Adventures so you guys can check out how to contact Steve and his team and talk to you about what you're looking to do. And if you're like me and you don't want to deal with the management, these are the types of partners you look for. So, Steve, this has been a good conversation. Is there anything, I always like to let you guys have the last word on anything that we want to make a highlight on, put an exclamation point on that we didn't talk about that you're excited about that you wish you would have, you know, you're really paying attention to going into 2026. Is there anything that we should probably focus on a little bit more or you want to say about that?
I think, there's probably a lot of people out there that are stuck. Either they're kind of stuck in the acquisition, they're maybe, you know, looking to buy their first one, or maybe they've bought their first one and they're not performing. Maybe they've had their second, kind of take everything that we've talked about and kind of, you know, wrap it up. I'd say, I was just thinking about this today. is that as well as we think we're doing, you know, we still make mistakes. We're still learning every single day. And I'd say the thing that I'm focused on is, you know, building the team around me and including more and more experts around me. So I'd say if there's anybody out there that's stuck, because I think we hear a lot about saturation. We hear a lot about interest rates. We hear a lot about, you know, Airbnb and what they're doing and all this. And there's this kind of a lot of excitement, and I'm still bullish on this market and this industry and in general, but there's still a lot of like fear and trepidation, I'd say. And I hear that sometimes when I talk to potential owners as clients and other people that reach out just for some guidance. And I'd say, you know, just put one foot in front of the other, you know, and start making progress daily and look for those coaches that can really, you know, help take you to that next, you know, success leaves clues, right? Failure also leaves clues.
Yeah.
And you want to learn from those folks that have, you know, both succeeded and failed. And I'd say for me, that's the thing, is starting, even surrounding myself, like a lot of times you kind of get insulated and just start doing your thing.
Right.
And you don't like lift your head up to go, man, there's a lot of people around me that could help if I just ask, like, you know, raise your hand and ask for help. So maybe that's the overall takeaway is, if you're feeling stuck, just raise your hand and ask for help, because there's a lot of people out there in this industry. What I've found is that there's no lack of willingness to help people. Right. You know, we don't see it as like this, a fixed pie. Yeah. You know, it's like there's enough, you know, for everyone in this business. And so everybody's willing to help. So that's what I would say. Because of the markets that we're past the 2020 and 2021, you know, golden years, we're in this kind of like interesting space. I think there's a lot of people stuck. So I just say, raise your hand and ask for help.
Love it. And I appreciate that. You're so right. I mean, it's the collective knowledge and experience that is available now, you know, it's out there. There's people that, like you said, like people are always like, why do you think you're better? And I said, I don't think I'm better than anybody on this stuff. I've been doing this for a long time. And so that means I've made a lot of mistakes. And even to that, and that was to get to Vodacy kind of started at this stage. The collective knowledge and experience inside of Odyssey with the, you know, the amount of successes that we can double down on and the mistakes that we've made to avoid, you know, there's no reason to go reinvent the wheel on anything anymore. Like we are in the age where you can get that information and avoid those same mistakes and really accelerate your progress. No question. Can't agree with you more and would absolutely double down on that to just say, hey, listen, just ask for help. There's so many good people out there that are willing to help, you know, within like our direct community, outside of our direct community, the entire industry. There's just a lot of resources available to try to get yourself, you know, started on that right direction. And always remind yourself, you know what sells with news? Bad news sells. Like people, like it captures more attention. And so, you know, you don't want to, you know, you don't want to ignore things that are going on in the market, but really peel a couple layers of the onion back. The amount of money being spent on short-term rentals in 2025 was a record again, you know? And so it was, I mean, the consumer continues to spend more and more money in this game. You know, I'm very, very bullish on this as an asset class. Every asset class has pros and cons. Do you need to understand how to operate? Do you need to understand if it works for your investing criteria and your property goals and everything else? Absolutely. But ask for help and find those people that are in the game that are doing it, because sometimes we have a tendency to hang on the headlines, and the headlines are not always good news. But you read, I don't know about you, but there's a lot of headlines you read, and then I read the article, I'm like, oh, that wasn't that bad.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
So don't hang on all the headlines either. So.
Yeah. And just a quick shout out to Tricia Capon, who's my business partner, who actually found through Vodacy, kind of speaking to that whole raising your hand, asking for help. She actually raised her hand asking for help from me. And it turns out she's been more help to me than I have been to her. And, you know, back in 2024, when we first met, we were 8 properties. And now that she's partnered with me, we're up to 25 and growing. And so, you just never know where help is going to come from and where those people that you meet are going to, you know, change your life. And so you just got to ask.
Love it. Love it. Well, awesome, Steve, man. I really appreciate you joining me for the third time. We'll have this will not be the last. You and I will have plenty of conversations. Those of you that are listening in, we appreciate you spending your time with us. We know it's valuable, and it always means a lot that you spend it with us. Our goal is to help you walk into this game with your eyes wide open, share the good, the bad, the ugly, and kind of everything in between, and that's what we try to do. These are my favorite episodes because I get to have conversations with some amazing people, and I get as much out of this or more than probably anybody listening. But if you do get as much out of it as I do, I love you to share the show with somebody else you think might get a little bit of value out of it as well, because we don't run ads or sponsorships. So the only way the show grows is if you guys share it. If you don't have anybody to share it with, like it or review it on whatever platform you're watching or listening on, because then those algorithms will share it with other people like you. And those are the number one, thing I ask you at the end of every episode, but the most important thing I ask you is to pick that one thing you can do today, start building that life you don't want to take a vacation from. Cheers, my friends.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution podcast. Share this with other people you think need to hear about it. And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. Hey Grace, is there a website?
Yes! For more amazing content and expert advice, visit Vodacy.com.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.